There was silence. At last, Elrond spoke again. "This is grievous news concerning Saruman," he said, "for we trusted him, and he is deep in all our counsels. It is perilous to study too deeply the arts of the enemy, for good or for ill, for such falls and betrayals, alas, have happened before. Of the tales that we have heard this day, the tale of Frodo was most strange to me. I have known few hobbits, save Bilbo here, and it seems to me that he is perhaps not so alone and singular as I had thought him. The world has changed much since I was last on the westward roads. The Barrow Wights we know by many names, and of the old forest many tales have been told. All that now remains is but an outlier of its northern march. Time was when a squirrel could go from tree to tree, from what is now the Shire to Dunland west of Isengard. In those lands I journeyed once, and many things wild and strange I knew. But I had forgotten Bombadil, if indeed this is still the same that walked the woods and hills long ago, and even then was older than the old. That was not then his name. Eowain Benarda we called him, oldest and fatherless. But many another name he has since been given by other folk. Faun by the dwarves, Horald by northern men, and other names besides. He is a strange creature, but maybe I should have summoned him to our council.
He would not have come, said Gandalf.
Could we not send messages to him and obtain his help? Asked Erestor. It seems that he has a power even over the ring.
No, I should not put it so, said Gandalf. Say rather that the ring has no power over him. He is his own master, but he cannot alter the ring itself, nor break its power over others. And now he is withdrawn into a little land, within bounds that he has set, though none can see them, waiting perhaps for a change of days, and he will not step beyond them.
But within these bounds nothing seems to dismay him, said Erestor. Would he not take the ring and keep it there, for ever harmless?
No, said Gandalf, not willingly. He might do so, if all the free folk of the world begged him, but he would not understand the need. And if he were given the ring, he would soon forget it, or most likely throw it away. Such things have no hold on his mind. He would be a most unsafe guardian, and that alone is answer enough.
But in any case, said Glorfindel, to send the ring to him would only postpone the day of evil. He is far away. We could not now take it back to him, unguessed, unmarked by any spy. And even if we could, soon or late the Lord of the Rings would learn of its hiding place, and would bend all his power towards it. Could that power be defied by Bombadil alone? I think not. I think that in the end, if all else is conquered, Bombadil will fall, last as he was first, and then night will come.
I know little of Eowain save the name, said Galdor, but Glorfindel, I think, is right. Power to defy our enemy is not in him, unless such power is in the earth itself. And yet we see that Sauron can torture and destroy the very hills.
What power still remains lies with us, here in Imladris, or with Círdan at the Havens, or in Lorien. But have they the strength? Have we here the strength to withstand the enemy, the coming of Sauron at the last, when all else is overthrown?
I have not the strength, said Elrond, neither have they. Then if a ring cannot be kept from him forever by strength, said Glorfindel, two things only remain for us to attempt, to send it over the sea, or to destroy it.
But Gandalf has revealed to us that we cannot destroy it by any craft that we here possess, said Elrond. And they who dwell beyond the sea would not receive it. For good or ill, it belongs to Middle-earth. It is for us who still dwell here to deal with it.
Then, said Glorfindel, let us cast it into the deeps, and so make the lies of Saruman come true. For it is clear now that even at the council his feet were already on a crooked path. He knew that the ring was not lost for ever, but wished us to think so, for he began to lust for it for himself. Yet oft in lies truth is hidden. In the sea it would be safe.
Not safe for ever, said Gandalf. There are many things in the deep waters, and seas and lands may change. And it is not our part here to take thought only for a season, or for a few lives of men, or for a passing age of the world. We should seek a final end of this menace, even if we do not hope to make one.
And that we shall not find on the roads to the sea, said Galdor. If the return to Eowain be thought too dangerous, then flight to the sea is now fraught with gravest peril. My heart tells me that Sauron will expect us to take the western way when he learns what has befallen. He soon will. The Nine have been unhorsed indeed, but that is but a respite. Here they find new steeds and swifter. Only the waning might of Gondor stands now between him and a march in power along the coasts into the north. And if he comes, assailing the White Towers and the Havens, hereafter the elves may have no escape from the lengthening shadows of Middle-earth.
Long yet will that march be delayed, said Boromir. Gondor wanes, you say, but Gondor stands, and even the end of its strength is still very strong.
And yet its vigilance can no longer keep back the Nine, said Galdor, and other roads he may find that Gondor does not guard.
Then, said Aristor, there are but two courses, as Glorfindel already has declared, to hide the ring for ever, or to unmake it. But both are beyond our power. Who will read this riddle for us?
None here can do so, said Elrond gravely. At least none can foretell what will come to pass if we take this road or that. But it seems to me now clear which is the road that we must take. The westward road seems easiest. Therefore it must be shunned. It will be watched. Too often the elves have fled that way. Now at this last we must take a hard road, a road unforeseen. There lies our hope, if hope it be, to walk into peril, to Mordor. We must send the ring to the fire.
Silence fell again. Frodo, even in that fair house, looking out upon a sunlit valley filled with the noise of clear waters, felt a dead darkness in his heart. Boromir stirred, and Frodo looked at him. He was fingering his great horn and frowning. At length he spoke.
"I do not understand all this," he said. "Saruman is a traitor, but did he not have a glimpse of wisdom? Why do you speak ever of hiding and destroying? Why should we not think that the great ring has come into our hands to serve us in the very hour of need? Wielding it, the free lords of the free may surely defeat the enemy. That is what he most fears, I deem. The men of Gondor are valiant, and they will never submit. But they may be beaten down. Valor needs first strength, and then a weapon. Let the ring be your weapon. If it has such a power as you say, take it and go forth to victory.
Alas, no, said Elrond. We cannot use the ruling ring. That we now know too well. It belongs to Sauron, and was made by him alone, and is altogether evil. Its strength, Boromir, is too great for anyone to wield at will, save only those who have already a great power of their own. But for them it holds an even deadlier peril. The very desire of it corrupts the heart. Consider Saruman. If any of the wise should with this ring overthrow the Lord of Mordor, using his own arts, he would then set himself on Sauron's throne, and yet another dark lord would appear. And that is another reason why the ring should be destroyed. As long as it is in the world, it will be a danger even to the wise. For nothing is evil in the beginning. Even Sauron was not so. I fear to take the ring to hide it. I will not take the ring to wield it.
Nor I, said Gandalf.
Boromir looked at them doubtfully, but he bowed his head.
So be it, he said. Then in Gondor we must trust to such weapons as we have. And at the least, while the wise ones guard this ring, we will fight on. Maybe the sword that was broken may still stem the tide, if the hand that wields it has inherited not an heirloom only, but the sinews of the kings of men.
Who can tell?
said Aragorn, but we will put it to the test one day.
May the day not be too long delayed, said Boromir, for though I do not ask for aid, we need it. It would comfort us to know that others fought also with all the means that they have.
Then be comforted, said Elrond, for there are other powers and realms that you know not, and they are hidden from you. Anduin the Great flows past many shores ere it comes to Argonath and the gates of Gondor.
Still, it might be well for all, said Gloin the Dwarf, if all these strengths were joined, and the powers of each were used in league. Other rings there may be less treacherous that might be used in our need. The seven are lost to us. If Balin has not found the ring of Thror, which was the last, nought has been heard of it since Thror perished in Moria. Indeed, I may now reveal that it was partly in hope to find that ring that Balin went away.
Balin will find no ring in Moria, said Gandalf. Thror gave it to Thrain, his son, but not Thrain to Thorin. It was taken with torment from Thrain in the dungeons of Dol Guldur. I came too late.
Ah, alas, said Gloin, when will the day come of our revenge? But still there are the three. What of the three rings of the elves? Very mighty rings, it is said. Do not the elf lords keep them? Yet they, too, were made by the Dark Lord long ago. Are they idle? I see elf lords here. Will they not say?
The elves returned no answer.
Did you not hear me, Gloin? Said Elrond. The three were not made by Sauron, nor did he ever touch them. But of them it is not permitted to speak. So much only in this hour of doubt I may now say. They are not idle, but they were not made as weapons of war or conquest. That is not their power. Those who made them did not desire strength or domination or hoarded wealth, but understanding, making and healing, to preserve all things unstained. These things the elves of Middle-earth have in some measure gained, though with sorrow. But all that has been wrought by those who wield the three will turn to their undoing, and their minds and hearts will become revealed to Sauron if he regains the one. It would be better if the three had never been. That is his purpose.
But what then would happen if the ruling ring were destroyed, as you counsel?
Asked Gloin. We know not for certain, answered Elrond sadly. Some hoped that the three rings, which Sauron has never touched, would then become free, and their rulers might heal the hurts of the world that he has wrought. But maybe when the one has gone, the three will fail, and many fair things will fade and be forgotten. That is my belief.
Yet all the elves are willing to endure this chance, said Glorfindel. If by it the power of Sauron may be broken, and the fear of his dominion be taken away for ever.
Thus we return once more to the destroying of the ring, said Aristor. And yet we come no nearer. What strength have we for the finding of the fire in which it was made? That is the path of despair.
Of folly, I should say, if the long wisdom of Elrond did not forbid me.
Despair or folly, said Gandalf. It is not despair, for despair is only for those who see the end beyond all doubt. We do not. It is wisdom to recognize necessity when all other courses have been weighed, though as folly it may appear to those who cling to false hope. Well, let folly be our cloak, a veil before the eyes of the enemy, for he is very wise, and weighs all things to a nicety in the scales of his malice. But the only measure that he knows is desire, desire for power, and so he judges all hearts. Into his heart the thought will not enter that any will refuse it, that having the ring we may seek to destroy it. If we seek this, we shall put him out of reckoning.
At least for a while, said Elrond. The road must be trod, but it will be very hard, and neither strength nor wisdom will carry us far upon it. This quest may be attempted by the weak with as much hope as the strong.
Yet such is oft the course of deeds that move the wheels of the world. Small hands do them because they must, while the eyes of the great are elsewhere.
"Very well, very well, Master Elrond," said Bilbo suddenly.
"Say no more. It's plain enough what you're pointing at. Bilbo the silly hobbit started this affair, and Bilbo had better finish it, or himself. I was very comfortable here, and getting on with my book. If you want to know, I'm just writing an ending for it. I had thought of putting, 'And he lived happily ever afterwards to the end of his days.' It's a good ending, and none the worse for having been used before. Now I shall have to alter that. It doesn't look like coming true. And anyway, there will evidently have to be several more chapters if I live to write them. It's a frightful nuisance. When ought I to start?"
Boromir looked in surprise at Bilbo, but the laughter died on his lips when he saw that all the others regarded the old hobbit with grave respect. Only Gloin smiled, but his smile came from old memories.
"Of course, my dear Bilbo," said Gandalf. "If you had really started this affair, you might be expected to finish it. But you know well enough now that starting is too great a claim for any, and that only a small part is played in great deeds by any hero. You need not bow, though the word was meant, and we do not doubt that under jest you are making a valiant offer. But one beyond your strength, Bilbo. You cannot take this thing. It has passed on. If you need my advice any longer, I should say that your part is ended, unless, as a recorder, finish your book and leave the ending unaltered. There is still hope for it, but get ready to write a sequel when they come back."
Bilbo laughed.
"I've never known you give me pleasant advice before," he said. "As all your unpleasant advice has been good, I wonder if this advice is not bad. Still, I don't suppose I have the strength or luck left to deal with the ring. It's grown, and I have not. But tell me, what do you mean by they?"
"The messengers who are sent with the ring."
"Exactly. And who are they to be? That seems to me what this council has to decide, and all that it has to decide. Elves may thrive on speech alone, and dwarves endure great weariness, but I'm only an old hobbit, and I miss my meal at noon. Can't you think of some names now, or put it off till after dinner?"
No one answered. The noon bell rang. Still no one spoke. Frodo glanced at all the faces, but they were not turned to him. All the council sat with downcast eyes, as if in deep thought. A great dread fell on him, as if he was awaiting the pronouncement of some doom that he had long foreseen and vainly hoped might, after all, never be spoken. An overwhelming longing to rest and remain at peace by Bilbo's side in Rivendell filled all his heart. At last, with an effort, he spoke, and wondered to hear his own words, as if some other will was using his small voice.
"I will take the ring," he said, "though I do not know the way."
Elrond raised his eyes and looked at him, and Frodo felt his heart pierced by the sudden keenness of the glance.
"If I understand aright all that I have heard," he said, "I think that this task is appointed for you, Frodo, and that if you do not find a way, no one will. This is the hour of the Shire folk, when they arise from their quiet fields to shake the towers and councils of the great. Who of all the wise could have foreseen it? Or, if they are wise, why should they expect to know it until the hour has struck? But it is a heavy burden, so heavy that none could lay it on another. I do not lay it on you. But if you take it freely, I will say that your choice is right. And though all the mighty elf friends of old, Hador, and Húrin, and Túrin, and Beren himself were assembled together, your seat should be among them."
"But you won't send him off alone, surely, master?" cried Sam, unable to contain himself any longer, and jumping up from the corner where he had been quietly sitting on the floor.
No, indeed, said Elrond, turning towards him with a smile. You at least shall go with him. It is hardly possible to separate you from him, even when he is summoned to a secret council, and you are not.
Sam sat down, blushing and muttering.
A nice pickle we've landed ourselves in, Mr. Frodo, he said, shaking his head.